today on Real Radio.
So you don't think you would hear this bold statement and this tremendous praise from a man who's in prison. Paul is secure. Paul is confident. Why? How? He's a human like us. So what's the deal? What made him so different?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, part 3 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. Even though Paul was in chains, joy filled his heart because he was rooted in God. He gave every detail of his life over to the Lord. Paul's fear, doubt, and feelings of unworthiness were swept away when he stood on this truth, that whatever work God has started in our lives, he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Jack asks, how could Paul remain so thankful in his circumstances? What kept him speaking the truth with passion and great love when he indeed had every reason to feel unusable? Paul was unique because he didn't allow his insecurities to rob him of his confidence in Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. I think you already know that on Sundays as we're going through the book of Philippians, which really has a theme, joy for every situation. And we've been learning how Paul's joy is rooted in not only in God, of course, but in the fact that God used the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the Bible, when he was in Philippi. And people got saved. We studied that in our previous studies. And a church began. And Paul was preaching and evangelizing. And then he was arrested for doing that. And you know the story. He was jailed. And long story short, God wound up taking his witness and having him shipped, no pun intended, but FedExed or shipped him to Rome, where he's now in prison for preaching the gospel. And he's writing this epistle to the Philippian believers. And though he's chained to a Roman guard, he's in prison. And what he doesn't know at the time of this authorship is that it's eventually going to lead to his death. He's going to be beheaded for his faithfulness to the gospel. And it's going to result in his death and his martyrdom. But he teaches us something about being thankful. And so today we are technically in our third installment of this message entitled, Thank You, God, in Philippians 1 to 7, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. But as I promised you guys, we were going to park today and revisit verse 6 by design. But look with me in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants, slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and with the bishops and deacons, or the church leadership, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he breaks into his praise of God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, that is from your salvation, until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of, and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Words that you would not expect to hear from a man who's imprisoned. He had been beaten. He had been rejected. All for the truth. Now look, if you get in trouble and you're thrown in prison because you break the law, then so be it, right? You deserve it, honestly. But what law had Paul broken? There was no law in Rome against preaching the gospel. What Paul was guilty of in being arrested was something that transcended civil law. And that was the Holy Spirit used him, and by the way, he's going to use you, that when you speak truth into somebody's life because you care for them, guess what's going to happen when you speak truth in love? Conviction is going to fall. Conviction. It's not human. Y'all, sounds like I'm reading Paul. We all need to hear this, that if you're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and you love people, you're going to speak the truth in love to people. And in doing that, you are not always going to be well received because some people don't want to hear the truth. But as a believer, as Christians, we're supposed to speak it anyway, gently, lovingly. If we're rejected, we're rejected. That's the business of the person rejecting us, quite frankly. But we're to speak it, and we're not to shy back away from it. And Paul had done that. So you don't think you would hear this bold statement and this tremendous praise from a man who's in prison. Paul is secure. Paul is confident. Why? How? And he is a man just like you and I. He's a human like us. So what's the deal? What made him so different? By the way, I think of the opposite. I think of fears and insecurities, doubts, and a sense of unworthiness. All of us go through this. I want you to realize that. You're not the only one right now thinking about a fear or you're fearful. Think about being fearful. Why are you fearful? Which breeds insecurities. Why are you insecure? Fear breeds insecurities. Those things breed doubt. You have doubts perhaps in God. You doubt God's promises because you're insecure. Why are you insecure? Because you have fears. Listen, why do you have fears about God? Because there's an overwhelming sense of unworthiness. And listen, only for the believer does that overwhelming sense of unworthiness actually work for us if we let God have his proper place in our lives. A sense of unworthiness we all struggle with, but when we're not Christians, that sense of unworthiness could lead to suicide. It could lead to total destruction. But as a Christian, a sense of unworthiness, knowing the promises of God, you ought to write that down in your notes. That's a big challenge today as we look to this. If you know the promises of God, then you take those promises up and against your unworthiness. Because ladies and gentlemen, let me be the first to tell you publicly right now, every one of us are unworthy of eternal life. Every one of us are unworthy of absolute forgiveness. Every one of us is unworthy of God's love. I could go on all day about this. That's why the Bible says God is gracious to us who believe in him. Gracious. Grace. As unworthy as we are, God bestows and trumps that unworthiness with his grace. But do we know that? That's why this morning we pause and dive into this particular verse, verse 6 of our study. Before we do this today, mark this down. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said the thief, referencing Satan, by the way, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they, or you and I, may have life. So you have to ask yourself this question. Are you a Christian? If you are, do you have life? The word is age-abiding, forever life. And that they may have it more abundantly. This word abundantly is an overflowing hilarity of life. Church, listen, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying, Satan has come to condemn you. I've come to give you life. And oh, by the way, if you know me, you have a life that's overflowing. So listen. This morning, as a Christian, you might say, Jack, I love God, but my life is not an overflowing life. You want to know why? Because of fear. Because of doubt. Because of unworthiness. Because of these insecurities that are robbing you, that rob me. And so I'm not going to go through the previous studies that built upon each to bring us to this moment. I'm going to jump right in to what we would call today our fourth consideration. It's verse 6. Can you highlight it and circle verse 6? It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Get your pen ready and your highlighter and take your notes because this is important. This whole thing, mark it down. Thank you, God, Paul would say. And by the end of this message, we better be saying it too, because it's a decision that we make. Thank you, God, for all that you have promised. Will you write that down? God has promised us. That's vitally important. So he says, being confident. Go ahead and put it on the screen, you guys. Right there. Being confident. Anywhere? Broken? Not working. For all that God has promised us. In verse 6. Why is that important? Because the nature of a promise, you guys, the nature of a promise is only as good as the promise keeper's ability to keep the promise. The nature of a promise is only as good as that promise keeper's ability to keep the promise. Listen, all of us have made promises, have we not? We all have done this. Even with the best intentions, we have failed in keeping our promises. Why? Because we have no true, unconditional ability to keep a promise. We're humans. Have you ever had a promise broken? Did someone ever give you a promise and they break it? Don't be mad at them. Don't be bitter at them. They were only human. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there was a big movement that went on some years ago called the Promise Keepers. I didn't like the title of it. Maybe you attended. It was a great event. That's super good. That's fine. I'm not disparaging that. But the Promise Keepers, and I know what the coach that started it was trying to achieve. I got that part. But if I would have ever spoken at such an event, which they never invited me, they probably had good reason. I would have simply said this. We can go ahead and make our promises, but without the power of God, we can't keep them because there's only one Promise Keeper. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps his promises. We need to remember something. God keeps the promises of his Bible. Number one, mark it down. It is this. Thank you, God, for all that you've promised. Number one is this, that he will answer your heart's cry. Will you write that down? Thank you, God, because of this. All that you've promised, I'm going to thank you, God, because you're the one that's going to answer my heart's cry. In verse 6, we see this, being confident. We're going to dissect this now. Being confident, these two words are extremely powerful. And here's the reason why. He's announcing to us here that we can be confident without insecurities, without fear, without doubt, without an overwhelming sense of unworthiness. We can be confident. It slams, it closes the door on fear and doubt, people. Paul's announcing, being confident of this very thing. Being confident. The word being is this. Being means over and over again, continuously, constantly, you can, in this case, be confident. Be being. If you're taking notes, you ought to write that down. It's a continuous, forever sense or presence or attitude. Because God keeps his promises, he's going to answer my heart's cry. We'll answer that statement in a moment, but the important thing is understanding that when he's saying this, we are constantly, always being able to be confident because God keeps his promises. That's what's implied. Well, people have broken promises with me. Forget about them. Focus on God. He will not break his promises. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, Paul speaking, that I may be found in him. Watch this. Not having my own righteousness. Listen. Paul says, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own worthiness. Listen, my own works, my own sense of doing good. Now, should we do good? Of course we should do good. My own sense of godliness. Should we seek to be godly? Absolutely. But Paul is saying that's in day-to-day practical life, which does not equate to your standing before God. You do not want to stand before God in your own righteousness. No way. So watch what he does here. He says, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, God takes you. The moment you make your decision in Christ, is as it were, he grabs you by the shirt, picks you up, and he dips you in the righteousness of Jesus and then sets you back down on planet Earth, and you have been coated in the righteousness of Christ. That's how God sees you, in the righteousness of Jesus. Listen, you might say, well, that's wonderful if it's true. It is true. It's your doubt and fear that's keeping you from enjoying that. Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead? If you really believe that, then that faith that you have in what God did radicalizes your life. And one of those things is that God puts his righteousness, or the Son of his righteousness, upon you. He imparts that. The beautiful thing about this is the moment you're a Christian, and this is a good test for all of us, the moment that you're a Christian, you immediately, a journey, a life, a pursuit begins where you want to draw near to God. You no longer want to run away from him, you want to draw near to him. And when this happens, your heart's cry is to get as close to God as you possibly can. You begin to hate the things that keep you isolated from God. You begin to evaluate your life. You begin to take inventory about how you think or what you do or what you have affection for or what is a time agent in your life. And you begin to evaluate. You begin to search and review your own life, both privately and publicly, to determine if you're in the faith or not. And you care about that. Don't raise your hand, but do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have God control in your life? Do you want more of him? I got good news for you if that's your desire. That's because the Holy Spirit has saved your soul. That's because God has put his Spirit in you to pursue him. It's a wonderful thing. Keep that in mind. Our heart's cry is to be confident in the Lord. Our confidence comes from God's reliability. Our confidence comes from his being dependable. God is dependable. He can be relied upon. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4, it says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious, what's the word? Promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've got a new life, and God has promised you his precious promises. We all enjoy confidence, and God wants you to have it. Church, listen, I know I'm going to raise some eyebrows. This always bugs certain people. I just want you to know, if you write me a letter, you know, do me a favor, by the way. I've gotten a lot of letters lately. I don't know why. I don't know why I've gotten them. You say, yes, you do. All you have to do is read them. That's the problem. I don't read them. I don't read any letter that is not signed with a person's name and a phone, email, or some way to contact you. I was trained by my pastor at Costa Mesa. When you get a letter and you open it up, go right to the back to see if someone signed it and gave you an ability to respond back to their comment. If it's not there, I throw it immediately away. So I've gotten a lot of letters lately, but they're not signed. So I don't know what's going on. I honestly don't know what's going on. So, and the same applies right now. If what I'm about to say bothers you, then sign it. Here's the deal. That what God does in our lives is firm and sure, and he's done things in the world to confirm that to us. And what I'm getting at is this. If you're a Christian today, the last thing you ever want to do is to communicate to a non-believer or other Christians that you're not sure if you're a Christian or not. You're not sure if you're saved or not. You're not sure if God's going to love you next week. You know why you're like that? Because you have a works self-righteousness-based relationship with God, and you're never happy, you're always bummed, you're very, very fragile in your Christian experience because, frankly, it's all wrong. You think your performance dictates your relationship to God, when in reality, it's the performance of the Holy Spirit in your life that confirms that you belong to God. You don't make yourself a Christian. The Holy Spirit makes you a Christian. Your call and my call is to open up my life to him and believe in him, to trust him. The Bible says if you believe that God if Jesus Christ died on the cross and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. A lot of people struggle with that. So having said that, there are certain things that God is trying to communicate, I believe, to us in nature, for example, of his faithfulness. All of this science that's out there, and I'm talking about real science. I'm not talking about bozo science. Bozo science is what people make up regarding science that don't believe in God. And it makes me laugh. They go ahead and they try to describe all of their evolutionary theories and stuff, but they always, always go to personal pronouns, for example, about evolution. Well, you know, Mother Nature did this. You can't do that if you're an evolutionist. You can't throw Mother Nature into that because Mother Nature had a father, and his name is the Lord. And listen, you can't say to me, well, you just have to believe this stuff. It all just came from a primordial goop. No, you know, I don't have that kind of faith. That's too much. No, here's the deal. God has shown us, for example, through real science, that the works of his hands can be depended upon. Why? Because, for example, gravity. Listen, not only is gravity a fact, but even if you defy gravity, there's things that God has engineered that another fact overrides that fact. If you begin to float because your airplane's going straight down, the laws of God's physics is still in effect. You can depend upon his laws. God sends us these messages that we might get to know him better, to depend upon his word or depend upon his faithfulness. He's amazing. Listen, tomorrow morning I got to get on an airplane. I guarantee you, I've been on airplanes all my life. Here's the deal. The pilot is not going to say, welcome aboard. And we're going to take this bucket of bolts out to the runway in a minute. And I'm just going to put full throttle on this baby. And I'm going to hope it gets up off the ground by the time we reach the end. And if we don't, we just don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's random chance. No, they don't say that, do they? And you say, well, you know... No, they don't do that. In fact, before the plane even takes off, the pilot says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, the weather at your destination is thus and so. And they'll even say, we're going to be landing at 32 minutes after 9 o'clock in your destination. Why? Because the pilot is totally counting on getting to the destination. Why? How can he be so sure? Because he knows something you don't know. He knows that the moment that that plane's thrust and lift override the weight and drag, that wing's going to take off. And if the wing takes off, the rest of the plane takes off. Aren't you glad? He knows laws that are in effect that cause him to be confident. And God is saying, look at that, would you guys? He's saying, look at that stuff. I'm trying to tell you something. Just like you guys enjoy natural law, I'm the God of natural law, and I'll keep my word. He's going to do this. He is going to perform that. Being confident. The word confident means this. Mark it down if you care to. It means to be absolutely convinced, to be pacified. I like that. To be given enough answers to whereby you go, yep, sold.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. God guarantees his promises, and he is faithful in answering the cries of our hearts. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I'd love to get a hold of Pastor Jack and tell him what I think of the radio program? Why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Debbie writes in and says, thank you for your ministry. It has helped me so much drawing closer to the Lord and encouraged me and has been a tremendous blessing over the years to be able to listen to your ministry pretty much anytime, especially with today's technology. I love the Real Life app. God bless you and everybody at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Thanks, Debbie, for that. If you'd like to get a hold of us and say hello to Pastor Jack and share your thoughts, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.